tonight in such a great way. See Brother Donald up here. I remember him and his wife. I used to be taller than them. At least him anyway. Many years ago at camp, they were just campers. Just little kids coming to camp. Trying to keep them out of trouble. Trying to stay in bed at night when the lights are out. And the fact that God is real is seen tonight in the reality of their life through the years. I've seen a lot of kids. I preached to thousands of young people throughout my ministry. Many of them have sad stories. And I've always said the devil's going to get a lot of them, but he won't get them all. And there's proof tonight that God is real tonight. Some years ago, my son came to me. I was sitting in my office doing some study. And he came and he sat down on the side of my desk. I said, "Tim, can I help you with something?" He goes, "No, Dad." Okay. So I went to my work. He's sitting there. I said, "Tim, did you want something?" "No, Dad." Okay. About 10 more minutes went by and he's still sitting there. I said, "Tim, why did you come in here?" He looked up at me and said the sweetest words. He said, "I just wanted to be near you, Daddy." And that's how I kind of feel about Jesus tonight. I just want to be near to him. I want to be closer to him. As we've been saying all week long and speaking all week long on loving him more. Loving him deeply, sincerely. And so we adopted this little song, "Just a Closer Walk." You walk close to God. But our desire is tonight not just to walk close to God, but closer to the Lord tonight. Help me sing this little chorus tonight. "Just a Closer Walk with Thee." "And just a closer walk with Thee." Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to Thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Let's pray together. Father, tonight, we've seen your wonderful love towards us when we spoke of Calvary Sunday morning. Oh, the depth of your love, the height, the breadth of the cross, how it reaches every part of our life and every part of our need. And Lord, we're thankful tonight that while your love for us is great, we can show our love back to you as well. And tonight, Lord, it's our most sincere desire that we'll walk a little closer, love you a little bit more. That, Father, we'll be drawn closer to your heart tonight. That the most soft whisper of the Holy Ghost would be a shout in our ear that we would obey your voice. And so tonight, Father, hear our prayer for a closer walk. Just a closer walk with Thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to Thee. Let it be, dear Lord. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Acts, if you will, chapter number 1 tonight. I'll give you a moment to find it. The book of Acts, first chapter. Tonight, the eyes of the world, and I mean the world tonight, is fastened on two people and TV. Yeah. The world is as interested in that as America is tonight. And while their eyes are fastened upon that debate, thank God his eyes are fastened on us and our eyes upon him tonight. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and into the uttermost part of the earth. Ye shall receive power. Ye shall receive power. Those words grip you tonight in your life. Men are always struggling for some type of power in life. Men want power in politics. Men want power in the business world. Men want power in society. But Jesus said, ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. One of the most misunderstood books in all the Bible is the book of Acts. So many times people will read it and they'll only see certain things within this book. And if we were to ask of so many people tonight, what happened in the book of Acts, and particularly chapter number 2, they would start shouting, oh, yeah, yes. That's when the disciples received power from God, and they all talked in tongues, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they missed the whole point. The whole point of the power that Jesus spoke of in chapter 1 and verse number 8 was not to speak in languages you never learned, but was to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that 3,000 people got saved. That's the important thing of Acts chapter 2. 3,000 people got saved. 3,000 people got baptized. 3,000 people joined the church. 3,000 people continued on in the fellowship and the doctrine and the breaking of bread. How many tonight have misunderstood what Jesus said? But ye shall receive power. Now, in John chapter 20, Jesus had died previously. They put him in the grave, and hallelujah, he arose from the dead. Aren't you glad for that? We got a living Savior tonight. We don't have a dead Jesus on the cross, a dead Jesus in the tomb, but one that's alive. Remember J2 say, Jesus' second coming. The disciples are in the upper room. Jesus in his resurrected body comes upon them. And the Bible says, he said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And he breathed on them. They received the Holy Ghost. That was the presence of the Spirit of God in their life. In the Old Testament, God would come upon men and then many times leave them. But then Jesus said, when he has come, he will be in you and dwell in you, and he'll stay in you, and your body then becomes the temple of the Holy Ghost. As 1 Corinthians chapter 6, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? Our bodies become the temple of the Holy Spirit. And here Jesus breathed on him and said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. That was the presence of the Spirit of God that they received. But in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8, it said, ye shall receive power after that in the future when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. They had the presence of the Spirit of God. Now, folks, when you got saved, several things happened. Your sins were forgiven, and thank God for that. Your name preserved in the book of life, and thank God for that. And God's plan begins to unfold for your life. But one of the major things that happened when you open up your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ is that the Holy Spirit of God comes into you and dwells in you forever. That's what happened in John 20. He breathed on them. They received the presence of the Holy Spirit. But in Acts 1, verse 8, he says, ye shall receive power. There was something that was going to happen. There was something that was going to occur. And in chapter 2, we read in verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterances. What a day that must have been. Now, before I go any further in this message, I'm going to make a statement. I'm a fundamental, independent Bible-believing Baptist. I'm not charismatic. I'm not Pentecostal. I'm not of that persuasion whatsoever, because I've read the Bible. You cannot deny that something happened here. What? The Spirit of God and power came upon them, and the Bible used the word filled them. Remember, they were indwelt in John 20. But now they were filled with the power of the Spirit. Notice what happened. And in verse number 4, they began to speak with other tongues, meaning other languages. It was not a gibberish. It was not some type of heavenly language. I have people say, oh yeah, tongues is a heavenly language because the devil doesn't understand it. Excuse me, where did the devil come from? He came from heaven. I already knew the language if there was one. And every time we have an angel speaking in the Bible, it's always in the language of man. And so they were speaking in languages they never learned. Now notice how what the Bible says in verse 5. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. And this was noised abroad. The multitude came together and were confounded because every man heard them speak in his own language. See, these are actual, earthly, natural languages of men on the earth. And they were all amazed in verse 7. And marvel, saying one to another, behold, are not all these that speak Galilean? How hear we, every man, in our own language wherein we were born? And then it goes, list 14 of them in the next few verses. The power of God fell upon them to preach in such a mighty way that, as we have the conclusion in verse 41, they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. I want to speak tonight. The most vital message I'm going to preach this week is tonight. It'll be one that some of you will just rush off. But I'm praying tonight that God would touch you. I'm praying tonight that we would see what God would have for us tonight. I want to preach tonight on the power of the Holy Ghost in your life tonight. Not too much preaching about that nowadays. Oh, I don't want to be confused with other groups. I don't want to be confused with anything except the Bible tonight. It's the only thing I want to be identified with. But where is the power of God tonight? Where is the power of God in our life? Now, I'm not talking about power to speak the languages they did here, because when you continue reading the Bible says, when that which is perfect is come, meaning the fulfillment of all the scriptures, and that which is in part is done away with, and those are all the sign gifts, that now we have the complete revelation of the Word of God. And we don't need the sign gifts. But we do need the power of the Holy Spirit. Does not the Bible teach us be filled with the Holy Spirit? I wonder tonight, do we miss it? Do we care about it? Do we care if we have God's power upon us? Or are we relying upon our intellect and our abilities to get the job done? How weak we really are in our flesh tonight. I don't preach this message lightly tonight, but I preach it under conviction of my own heart, my own soul, that this is what I need the most in my life. You know, in the Old Testament, we have Elisha, and he had a prophet school. And they had a young man that was chopping down a tree, helping to build the prophet school. And he had an axe, and he's chopping the tree. And all of a sudden, for some reason, the axe head flew off of the handle. Now, he was a very smart individual, because when the axe head flew off the handle, he did one smart thing. He stopped chopping. I mean, you could imagine, he's chopping down a tree, the axe head. Oh, he says, that's all right. I'll just keep grinding. He can keep whacking that tree. He'd make a lot more noise, wouldn't he? He'd really work up a whole lot more sweat, wouldn't he? Boys, look at him go, and he'd bring it. But no chips are flying. And no timber is falling. What about in our life? Where's the cutting edge? Where's the cutting edge tonight? What is the power, the filling of the Holy Spirit? We ought to stop and get the axe head back. Get the cutting edge back into the ministry. What did Jesus mean when he said, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you"? He wasn't talking about financial power. I don't, you know, I know people say money talks. You ever heard that? Money talks. I don't know about yours, but mine mostly says goodbye. But we think, oh, if we only had more money, think of what we could do for God. If we only had, now I understand, folks, we need finances. I understand. I like having electricity, and I like indoor plumbing. I don't want to do without that, you know. And I do preach to some churches that don't have it. Believe me, I like churches that have it. And we do need to pay the staff, insurance, upkeep, maintenance, mortgage. We understand that tonight. But that's not the power Jesus was talking about. And we're not to crave just financial power. Oh, we had financial. In Acts chapter 3, if you just turn to just the next chapter over, in Acts chapter 3 and verse number 1, and Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man from his a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked them out. They might have thought, hey, these are those guys that just had that big meeting over there. These are those guys that just had three times. Boy, they must be loaded. I'll tell you, they just had that big meeting. And he sees them coming. And he sees in verse 3, who's seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asking alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood, walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Here was a man that says, I need money. Here was a man that I need finances, and I'm begging people to give me some. Seeing Peter and John says, give me some money. But Peter said, I don't have money, but I have something far better than that. And Peter then reached down, took his hand, and raised him up in the name of Jesus. And a man that never walked a day in his life stood up and walked and leaped with joy into the temple. See, he thought he needed one thing, but really he needed something else. And in our churches and in our lives, you might think you need one thing, but what we need more than anything else is the power of God upon us. Peter could have given him some money. The next day, he still would have been at the gate begging. What he needed was the power to flow through God's man into his body. It's not financial power. just a small group that God gave power to, poor in money but rich in power. The Bible says they turned the world upside down for Jesus. Verses 4 of chapter 3. Fastened his eyes upon them. Gave him power. I remember when we first started our church years ago, somebody called us up. We were just a small group of believers. None of us were rich. None of us had good jobs, just average folks. They wanted our Dun and Bradstreet rating. I said, are you kidding me? We didn't have much. But we saw souls saved. We saw the baptistry active. We saw folks join the church by the power of God. Jesus isn't talking about intellectual power tonight. Now, I'm not against education. I've had some. My wife had some. But what amazes me tonight is how God can use the simplest among us tonight without much education, with his power upon them, in a marvelous way to win souls and to give glory to Jesus Christ. There was a preacher that went to a pastor's fellowship, and he was lamenting to other pastors, and one in particular, my folks just don't, I'm young in the ministry, and my folks just don't respect me at all. And he says, do you have an office at the church? He says, yes, sir. Is your name on the door? He said, yes, sir. Do you have any letters after your name? He said, well, no, I don't. He said, there's your problem. You go put some letters after your name and see what happens. So the next month, new pastor's fellowship, sees that same preacher. And he goes, brother, that was wonderful advice. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I put some letters after my, and now everybody thinks I'm really a great pastor. He said, that's great. What letters did you put after your name? He said, L-L-B-B-A. L-L-B-B-A. What does that mean? Looks like bishop, but ain't. And you know, we can get impressive with, oh, Dr. So-and-so, oh, yeah, Dr. So-and-so. But these were unlearned and ignorant men, and the world took note that they had been with Jesus. Why? Because they had the power of God upon them. That they were with Jesus. I stand before you tonight. I know tonight. I know it. I know it. I know it. Greater men, more eloquent than I, have stood behind this pulpit and stirred your hearts with the things of God. I thank God for men like that. But I want to tell you tonight, what you're looking at here tonight is a miracle of the Lord. If you knew me when I was growing up, very quiet, very shy, if you could believe that. Didn't have many friends. Wasn't athletic, nothing much. Wasn't big in the brain department, as we said last night. But God saved me for a purpose. When I graduated from Bible college, I couldn't preach much, couldn't preach my way out of a wet paper bag. And sometimes I feel like I ought to call myself Dr. Dan because I keep practicing. We had our first church, a small church. Our first Sunday, I think we had, 8 or 9 people there. And about 3 of them were my friends, besides my wife and myself. There was nobody there. I remember asking where the baptistry was. And they said, oh, preacher, it's under the pulpit, it's under the platform. It's one of those old churches. The baptistry was actually built underneath. So when they had a baptism, they moved the pulpit and pull up, you know, the floorboards, and there was the baptistry. I asked the deacon, I said, can I see it? He says, why? I said, well, I want to see the Baptist. I didn't really want to tell him. I was really concerned how deep it was. He says, okay. He moved the pulpit. We pulled up the floorboards. Christmas tree decorations. Easter decorations. Cobwebs. Rusty. And I looked at that thing and I said, it hasn't been used in years. I said, brother, come on, give me a hand. We're going to clean all this out. He says, why? I said, we're going to fill this thing up and we're going to be baptized. And he said, we ain't been baptizing anybody around here for a long time. I said, well, we're going to see what God would do. We cleaned it out. And I said, let's get some paint, Rust-Oleum paint, and paint a nice blue. I said, make it look nice. The old galvanized metals, what was there. And his daughter was the first one to get baptized. But I remember I was preaching, and I said, God, I'm going to preach sound doctrine. I'm going to preach sound doctrine. I'm going to preach sound doctrine. And I did preach sound doctrine to a church that was sound asleep. And then one day, I read a book, stirred my heart, about the Holy Ghost and the power of God. I fell on my knees before God and said, God, that's what I'm missing. I have all the doctrine up here. I have all the knowledge. I can build a Sunday school, and we ran a bus ministry, and we did all of that. But God, I'm missing the power of God. I fell on my knees before God, and I begged him to fill me with his anointing, with his power. Now, folks, it wasn't anything magical. It wasn't, I didn't jump up and down. I didn't feel electricity running through my body or anything like that. But I knew that God had touched me, and I knew that I was going to be used by God, and I knew what God can do. And I yielded myself to him. And pretty soon that baptistry was frequently used. Folks were coming to church, they were always used to sitting in the same place. You know what I mean. And visitors would come and sit in their place. And they were nice about it. And they'd go, oh, but it was fun watching them come to church. Oh, that's didn't know what to do. Didn't have a GPS for pew finding. That'd make an app, wouldn't it? That'd be a good app. Here are the empty seats. And so they'd sit someplace else where somebody else sat. And then other folks would come in and they'd sit. And I thought, you know, it messed up the whole church. We had a great time there. God blessed. And I said, God, I'm not going to be a powerless Christian. God's not talking about financial power. He's not talking about intellectual power. The only degree you need to serve Jesus is a BA, born again. Maybe a PhD, praise him daily. But if you have those degrees, you can do something for God. But my concern tonight is simply this. I don't have time tonight. And the preacher said, we're going to get you out. And we're going to get you out early. I don't have time tonight to tell you all about all the feeling and what it is and how to get it. I'll let the pastor do. That's a good pastoral ministry. I just want you to long for it tonight. Do you miss God's power in your life tonight? It was said, and I didn't agree with all of his theology, but an evangelist by the name of Finney would preach, thousands would fall under conviction. It was said one time he went into a city and he took a tour of a factory. And just walking through the factory, the people saw him and began crying out to God for mercy just by his presence. So much so that the owner of the factory said, shut down the mill. Gathered the people in the common hall, if perchance Mr. Finney would preach unto us the gospel of Jesus. How do we get power? Do you want it? Do you care? How many Sunday school teachers, year after year, teach a class? You have all the lessons, all the objects, all the illustrations. But where's the power of God? How many preachers have preached sermon after sermon after sermon? Where's the power of God? How many churches carry on all the activity, but yet no power of God? Where is the power of God tonight in your life? The Holy Spirit will not feel power in a dirty vessel. You see, that's why on Sunday morning in Sunday school, remember we talked about the veil? To enter into that Holy of Holies, ripped from top to bottom, the colors. And then the cross, there where our soul has been cleansed and sanctified. And then last night, the command of Jesus, the two words. I wonder how many remember. I sometimes wonder how many remember from one night to the next. It was only last night. Remember, Jesus gave a command, two words. What were they? Bless your heart. Follow me and I will make you. We saw how God wants to make us and what he wants to make us. But tonight, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you tonight. All through the scriptures we're told in Ephesians, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. I'm amazed at how many Christians never sought it, never cared about it, never gave it concern in their life. Maybe you misunderstood it. But tonight, would you ask God to do what's necessary in your heart and in your life, and not just tonight, but lingering on through the day tomorrow, and a day after that, and a day after that, saying, God, I need your power in my life. Peter was boastful. Lord, you can depend on me. You can't depend on these fellows over there, but me, you can depend on me. Yeah. There were folks that once filled these pews who maybe stood up and said, I love this church, and I'm with this church, and I'm with that preacher, and I'm... But what happened now? Where are they to be now? Jesus looked at Peter and said, Peter, before that old rooster sounds, you're going to deny me three times. I imagine Peter saying, well, I won't. But what does the Bible say, that let no man think of himself more highly than he ought to think? Does not Bible talks about boast not thyself tomorrow? The little girl comes to Peter. Weren't you with, I don't know him. You know the account as well as I do. And the third time, in the distance, the old rooster sounded. Oh, God. Jesus, I deny you. You were right. Oh. And the Bible says that he looked upon Jesus, must have been nearby. And their eyes looked upon each other. I don't know what kind of look Jesus might have had on his face. I don't think it was one of, yeah, told you so. I don't think that was it. I don't think it was one of anger where he said, Peter, you know better than that. But I think it was a sign and a face of hurt. And the Bible says as Peter looked upon the face of Jesus and their eyes locked on each other, he went out and he wept bitterly. Folks, this wasn't just little big old crocodile tears. I mean, he went out and he wept and he wept and he wailed and he wailed. I could not stop. I'm done. I failed. I go fishing. Right back where he was when Jesus found him. What was he doing when Peter found him? When Jesus found him fishing? Where'd he go? Back. I'll tell you one thing. You leave God, you leave the church, you're going to go right back where Jesus found you. But Peter wasn't always weeping. For in Acts 2, we read that the power of God fell. And he was filled with the Holy Ghost. And he went from weeper to preacher. And never looked back again. I don't care how you might have failed. I don't care what weakness you have in your life, as we spoke of last night. Make me to know my sin and make me to know my frailties, my weaknesses. The power of God can flow through you and through this church. You said, preacher, I'm just a church member. These were just fishermen, unlearned, ignorant men. That's all they were. But they had an open and yielded heart to the Savior. What about you tonight? I'm kind of stalling to get to the invitation because it frightens me tonight. To preach a message about the filling of the Holy Spirit and not have anybody care. Yeah. To brush it off as if, oh, that's not for me. To say tonight, oh, I don't need that. Oh, I already got that. Maybe we're not talking about walking close to God. We're talking about walking what? Closer. We're not talking about loving God tonight. We're talking about loving Him more tonight. And I wonder tonight, if you're here and you do not have the assurance of God's forgiveness in your life. Now, folks, I don't have to tell you, there's not a person in this room, starting with this one right here and going right to that last row, that has not sinned. Not one of us. You've done wrong. You broke God's laws. You maybe blasphemed, took His name in vain. Perhaps you have lied. Perhaps, who hasn't? And you've broken the law of God. And that demands justice tonight. And the Bible calls that justice the judgment of hell. Oh, I don't believe that. You don't have to believe it to make it real. Right. It exists because God said so. Oh, I don't believe God would ever send anyone to hell. I agree with you. God never sent, never will, and never has sent anyone to hell. You send yourself. When you refuse to open your heart to the Lord and confess that you have sinned and realize there's nothing you can do, no amount of good works and no amount of money and no amount of any type of sacrifice or sacrament or penance can do, but to cast yourself on the mercy and on the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that He died on the cross, was buried, and rose again, and putting your faith and trust in Him, and turning from all vain religion and trust, and trusting Him only as your Savior. You reject that, you're turning your back on all of heaven and all of forgiveness for all of time and for all of eternity. Weigh well the condition of your soul tonight, folks. It is precious. And Christian, tonight, as we will give an opportunity for those to come tonight and to open up their heart to Christ, so what about you tonight? You sit there, maybe nod your head, maybe brush it off, or will you tonight say, I want God's power in my life? Have you ever been so hungry? I mean, you were saying, I'm starved to death. I mean, you could smell a McDonald's French fry 2 miles down the road. And you're saying, oh, I'm so hungry. You had that desire for hunger, didn't you? You had that desire to be fulfilled. Would you ask God for that desire tonight? Would you ask God for that desire? Say, God, give me the power of the Holy Ghost. God, give me the thirst. Give me the thirst. Give me the hunger, God. Give it to me tonight. I want that, God. You don't care about your talents tonight. Church has a lot of talent in it, in music and in preaching. They have a lot of talent. But I'm going to tell you something. What we need most is the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, I haven't so far this week, but we're going to do it tonight to sing an invitation hymn. Normally we don't sing it because I don't think singing is what's necessary. It's doing. So, honey, would you come to the piano, please? And folks, I'm going to ask you tonight, take your hymn book, turn to number 66, and stand, please, when you find a page. This message tonight is not intellectual. It's not exegetical, as they would say. But oh, tonight, we would say, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. You see,